I guess we all settled. I can see one of the designers just finalizing the important work of getting him stronger. He's a strong man already. So thank you very much. We think we should start our session. In fact, we suggest that we first deal with this important matter in our country, which has been with us since 2015, the expropriation bill. So we suggest that we start with it and I'll stretch a bit of a background to it and allow members to also comment, and we then finalize our decision. A bit of background to the expropriation is quite an important aspect, but maybe before we go there, let's be formal in terms of declaring the meeting open and welcoming everybody. Honorable members, you are welcome. Honorable Fee, you are welcome. It's always good to see you. We miss you in the Eastern Cape oversight. But Honorable Raider, keep us busy there. Thank you very much. So, can we check if there are any requests for absence? Apologies. Let's check apologies if there's any. Committee Secretary?
Thank you, Chairperson. I've got two apologies registered with our office from the honourable members. It's Honourable Mafeisa and Honourable Sithole that are not able to be with us today due to other commitments. From the department side, the DG has also tendered his apology. Mr. Daya Govinda, and there was someone else from the department. So those three were from the department as well. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. From the floor, I think we...
So I've indicated...
Yes, but I would need to leave at just before 11 o'clock.
Thank you very much. I think it would be done with that. So, honourable members, we are then getting straight to this important aspect. The honourable Fit.
Try and use this one. Sorry, Chair, just with regard to the apologies, I just got one comment and a question. I didn't hear an apology for the Minister. Is there any reason why he's not here, especially considering that we aren't going to deal with, as in your words, a very important matter? I also noticed that the DG is also very seldom at these meetings, so we just get apologies for officials, but no reason given, and we understand there are other issues, but as you indicated, as I said, that there's an important matter being dealt with, and they just find it not important to attend this meeting.
In fact, it's my old age. I did receive the indication both from the minister and the DG that they are requesting that they wouldn't be here, but the DG has sent a DGG to present, so when it comes to the item, so the DGG will be here. So I've accepted, but I do note what you are saying. I think the Deputy Minister is here representing the minister. So the minister did ensure that the DM is here. So, but I think we must note that indeed we also would love to have the minister as well. But we also note that the minister is everywhere trying to sort the issues. So but from time to time we'll appreciate that. I think we note if the minister can also find time to, because in terms of how we work, the minister must be accountable to this committee. So it cannot be correct that he account via the DM all the time. So we think we know that. But the DG, like I said, did send me something already. So you want to add anything, DM, on that?
No, I'm fine with that.
Thank you very much. So I think, honourable members, let's then get to this important point, the expropriation bill withdrawal, which has been sitting with us since 2015. It has gone through all the relevant processes, statutory and necessary passages, until it reached the former President of the Republic of South Africa. And indeed, it was returned to Parliament for procedural count, firstly on the 20th of July 2016, and secondly on the 14th February 2017. So there were issues that were raised that we, Parliament, was to look into. They are listed in the report. You received the report. We think as this portfolio, we are the relevant portfolio. We are also quite aware of what is taking place in South Africa. We are also quite aware that our parliament has set up an ad hoc committee that deals with the Section 25 Constitutional Review Committee. Now, which is already preparing a report to the same parliament dealing with Section 25. So we can then be also doing with the same parallel process. So we belong to the same parliament. So if we as parliament resolve to hear the people of South Africa on that important clause, it is then goes without question that we must send the bill back to Parliament for Parliament to take our advice, which is to reject it or allow the minister to look into it. So our work then is to withdraw it and then allow the parliament to finally, on once we have indicated that we reject the bill because of what is taking place already in the country, what we have already resolved as parliament to set up the committee that will deal with constitutional review. So there are a lot of issues that in fact has made this bill to remain a problematic bill. So I think, honourable members, I will allow you time to comment on this report, and thereafter we must clearly have a report that must go to the speaker that we are rejecting the bill based on the acts. I can already see the hand of Honorable Dr. Matlopa. I can already see the end of Mr. Sultane, Honorable Raider, the Honorable Masuela, Honorable Peak, in that order.
Thanks, Honorable Chair. Thanks for giving us a background to remind us where do we come from with this expropriation bill and the reason for it to be referred back by the former president. Chair, maybe before I make a proposal, I wish to take you to Section 8 of this document, resolution. I think there is a mistake down there. In accordance with the joint rule 2032 and 3C, not 208. I think we need to look at that one, because otherwise we're gonna, if we are talking about the referral to assembly committee, section 203. So it's joint rule 203, subsection 2, and 3, subsection C. These are the relevant sections that deal with this particular matter we are dealing with today. And as the Honorable Chairperson has raised the important fact that the Parliament is dealing with this particular matter of reviewing Section 25 of the Constitution in order to deal with the issue of expropriation of land without compensation. So if now as a committee we can continue deliberating with it, we may come up with different conclusions around the very same particular matter. So one will propose that we reject this until we hear from the committee that is dealing with this issue of reviewing Section 25, because really it can't be correct for the same parliament to have parallel processes. I propose to.
Thank you very much. Adane?
Thank you, Chair, and good morning, colleagues and the DM, team. Just two issues there, Chair, on this matter. One, one recalls that there was a lot of debate around the definition of property when we dealt with this bill. And we ended up asking the department to give us their version of what property means. And finally, we reluctantly, when I say reluctantly, I mean it's not a unanimous decision, but for some of us, the definition of property as contemplated in the Constitution was the final conclusion. Now the reason I'm bringing this up is because land is property, but property is not necessarily land. Now, it could very well be that while the intention of withdrawing this bill may be that much good, maybe we could find ourselves having confused two issues here. The CRC is not talking about property. It talks about land. And mind my earlier statement to say land is, okay, property, but property is not necessarily land. Having been part of the CRC, the coastal team in particular, this question came up time and time again. What are you talking about? Are you talking about land? Are you talking about property? So it becomes necessary for us as this committee to go through that process of getting a clear understanding that this bill was about property. It was not necessarily about land.
On a point of order, Chair.
Let's hear the point of order. The second,
No, thanks, Honourable Chair. I think the Honourable Member is correct that there were those arguments, but at the moment, we are not dealing with the bill per se. What we are saying, we are dealing whether we have to continue deliberating on the bill as he has started deliberating on it. But we are saying, because there is another process taken by Parliament, we can't take parallel processes as one Parliament. At the moment, let us reject this particular bill. Because the other committee is deliberating on it. We are not yet on the bill per se, as it's taking us through the argument whether the property is a land or a land is a property. That is my point of order, Chair.
That point of order is sustained. Indeed, what is on the table is withdrawing or rejecting the bill. So we're not really dealing with the inside of it. We're not tabling it. We're rejecting or continuing with it. That's where we are. Mr. Fridane?
Chair, whilst I have to respect your ruling that the point of order is sustained, but I have to say it's unfortunate that you have passed judgment before allowing me to finish my presentation, because that was just a point of departure. I was not arguing the contents of the bill. You haven't yet heard my point. That was just my preamble here. So whilst I respect your view, I would humbly request you to allow me to finish my statement. Then I've got another point. Let me just finish my point.
No, let me be
I'm
clear.
I'm not arguing on the bill.
Let me be clear. So what is on the table is clear as a committee. Do we reject the bill or do we want to deal with the bill? So that is where you should be, because if you must avoid going to the nitty-gritties of it, because otherwise they will be dealing with the bill. So which we not now, do we proceed with it or not? That's where you should be talking to.
Chair, if we read 7.2 of the notes that have been supplied to us, there are reasons advanced there, and that's exactly where I am. It's on the issue of relevance. That's where the issue of the definition comes in, as to whether we are correct in assuming that the two bills, the motion of February and the bill, are necessarily speaking to exactly the same thing. This is where the issue of relevance comes in. Now, the word relevant is not Fildana's making. It's been put to us by whosoever drew up this document. So I'm avoiding a situation where we would oversimplify the issue and say, yes, it makes sense for us to suspend. Because you are saying reject, reject. Mm. But if I interpret this document, it's not a question of rejecting it. It's a question of suspending the processing of this bill. Mm. And I think we need to be precise in our language. Because if you're talking about rejecting, that's a totally different thing from suspending processing with it. My understanding is that we're dealing with whether we should suspend processing, not outright rejection, because when it comes to the parliamentary processes, a conclusion, the minutes that will go to the speaker to say we rejected it, that conveys a totally different thing, and it could lead us to a situation where, now if the bill was rejected by the committee, where, how do we process it going forward, if it should ever be necessary? So my point, therefore, Chair, is whether we believe that land and property are the same thing. Because this bill was about property, the CRC is dealing with land per se. That's just my point. I'm not arguing, I'm not discussing the contents of the bill as such. Mm. But that's why I said we finally resolved that we're dealing with property as contemplated in the Constitution. That's where I am. I want to get a response, you know, to that question of mine as to whether we are comfortable as this committee that the two committees are dealing with exactly the same issues here. Property,
okay.
Public works, land. Now,
okay.
Finally, my question is, which portfolio is supposed to deal with land? Is it us that will drop our own bid, or is it another portfolio within Parliament? That's the next question. I am less educated when it comes to that. The process question will come up later, but I would like for us to, I would like to be comfortable with this definition. I'm not rejecting in principle the approach, but I want us to be sure that we are well grounded as we decide on this, because it's a very, very emotive issue. The country is seriously divided on it. We don't want to just glide over for convenience and quickly dispense with it and you think that every other matter is more important than this. So let's just come down and find each other. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much, Honor Masela.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. I think today we are dealing with the withdrawal of this bill. What we are saying is just that we want to withdraw it from our side as the committee, because we have the other committee that is dealing with it. Indeed, we are the ones who are supposed to be dealing with it. We have been dealing with it all along.
Mm.
But now it has come to a situation where it has been given to the DADO committee to deal with it. And we cannot deal with it also and have this parallel processes taking place. That is why we are saying, let us withdraw it from our side as the committee, allow the ad hoc to finish. It will still come back to us to process it further. But for now, we are saying we want to withdraw or reject it from us. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Reda.
Chair, thank you very much indeed. Before I get on to the matter at hand, Chair, I'd like to point out the fact that we have repeatedly and consistently spoken about timeous delivery of documentation before meetings. You yourself started by telling us what an important matter this is to discuss. I note that the agenda for this meeting was circulated to us 3:30 p.m. yesterday afternoon with certain attachments attached to it. I then heard an interview. I was driving at the time from Johannesburg to Cape Town, so I didn't have access to my emails. So I only obviously received this much later last night. But while I was driving, I was surprised to hear you on the radio being interviewed about this issue. And it seems the media is much more important than the members of this committee, because they obviously are informed of our activities before we are. So I'm placing on record my consternation, Chair, with the fact that this, what you call important report that we're dealing with, was given to us this morning, because it's not even attached to the email that was given to us, sent out last night. Chairperson, the administrative support to this committee leaves a lot to be desired. The fact that this was only submitted yesterday is alarming and unacceptable to me, especially in light of the fact that we've had recent other similar failings from our administration to show any sort of respect to the members of this committee. And I refer specifically to our oversight trip to the Eastern Cape, where members were not informed of the planned trip until the very last minute, which resulted in a shockingly bad turnout. The arrangements were poorly effected, meaning other people fell off the system as well. And we really, I mean, did we have oversight or not? There were only a handful of us there, and we didn't have opportunity to give it due consideration to the matters at hand because of a failing by the administration, Chair. So I'm stating on record that I'm not comfortable dealing with a matter of this importance without having opportunity to prepare. I've had a quick glance through this document, Chair, but to properly interrogate it, I think, would need more time. So I'm placing my discomfort on record. To get to the matter at hand, Chair, I mean, yes, I note that we shelved the bill at a meeting that we had a couple of months ago. And now I suppose withdrawal is the next logical step. Chairperson, I'm looking at 6.3 of this report, which says that the committee was and is of the view that conducting parallel public hearings on the basis of the existing expropriation bill, which does not envisage expropriation without compensation, would have created confusion, duplication, etc. And I'm a little alarmed at that statement, because I think that, that the President of South Africa is on record saying that the Constitution already envisages that there is potential for expropriation without compensation. And I think our Deputy Minister is on record saying the same thing. Certainly, Khalima Motlanthe and his high-level panel review committee were definitely of the opinion that the Constitution currently would legally allow expropriation without compensation, but it's merely the terms and conditions of this, or the circumstances, the specific circumstances would need to be clarified. So, Chair, under that, and understanding that 25.5 of the Constitution, I'll quote from it, says, the state must take reasonable legislative and other measures within its available resources to foster conditions which enable citizens to gain access to land on an equitable basis. It's there. So it's on that basis that this expropriation bill needs to be sorted out and finalized. And I accept the one that was drafted would need to be withdrawn and redrafted entirely. But if that's to be the case, if the expropriation bill is the matter that for under discussion and which will determine the terms and conditions or will clarify the issues of when expropriation without compensation is necessary, then almost certainly we wouldn't need to change the Constitution, because this is subordinate legislation which gives clarity to exactly that, 25.5 of the Constitution. So if we can just get some clarity on that, I think that you know, is there any point to having a subordinate bill, or is the whole thing going to be contained in a redrafted version of 25.5 of the Constitution? Because you either have one or the other. I don't see the need for both. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Another thing, did you have your hand up? Okay.
I did, Honourable Chair, and I thought it was a lady's turn before mine, and it's been Women's Month, I'm just disappointed. So. But you are the Chair, so I'll deal with my issues. Chairperson, thank you. The issue that I have, we have a Constitution Review Committee that are dealing with the Constitution. Mm. We have the department or the committee, this committee, Public Works, that's dealing with the bill. Mm. So while we are using the term that they are parallel, they operate parallel, this committee is dealing with one issue. We're not dealing with the Constitution. The same way the Constitution Review Committee is dealing with the Constitution. So I just want us, we must be careful of conjoining the two, the bill and the Constitution. While I understand the intention and the outcome will probably be the same or similar, with similar objectives, the concern I have, and members have been referring to this document, Chairperson, my concern is this. In this document it states, the committee has done this, the committee has planned this. I don't know when this happened. I have not seen any minutes. It's the first time I've seen this document. So this is a document that we are going to, first of all, we've received this morning. We are expected to consider this report. And this, I don't recall, unless I might have been absent, but I don't recall any of these decisions being discussed at any committee meeting. So, therefore, I have a serious concern that we are rushing again, as is normal in this parliament. We are rushing through something to ensure that this task is completed without serious consideration. So that's the concern I have with regards to this report. I do understand that the bill has been sent back to Parliament as a result of certain flaws, being that there was not, and it's listed in the introduction of this document that is that we have in front of us. But the concern that I have is that this document or the bill is going to be withdrawn. We've accepted that. It's going to happen. There's no question about that not being happening. But my concern is that there is going to be, and I'm making the assumption, that there's going to be a new bill, not an amendment to this bill. Mm-hmm. That's why we withdraw it. That's the intention. Yeah. Okay, that's the purpose. Mm-hmm. So there's going to be a new bill. So my concern then is that that bill is somewhere. We haven't seen it the same way this report we've seen for the first time. That report will probably be given to us in the next couple of weeks. When is that bill going to be, when is that bill expected to be finalized? We know that Parliament, we've been given a date for next year for Parliament to rise. So that's another issue. So again, my concern is that, and without knowing the contents and the complexity of that bill or the size, how long are we going to, or how long is it going to take for us to rush through that bill? Mm. And that is going to be my concern. Mm. So those are the issues that I would like to raise, Honourable Chairperson. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Honourable DM?
Yes, no, thank you very much, Chair. And thanks, I think, for the constructive comments that I'm hearing coming from all the colleagues. The first of all, to appreciate that there appears to be an agreement that there should be a withdrawal. I'm not sure if the word reject is a result of the way in which the rules of Parliament operate.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Because reject is a bit of a heavy word. And I think what we're intending, certainly from our side, is the idea of withdrawal. Mm. So if we could call it a withdrawal, it would be better, because that's the intention. Mm. Rather than reject, but if the rules oblige us to use the word reject, then I suppose we should do it.
Yeah,
if I could then try to then you see, yeah, the Honourable Sultani, although he was called to order and sort of respected the call to order, he was raising a legitimate point.
Mm.
Okay, which is that and it's a similar point to what the Honourable Figg is raising. Which is the two processes, the Constitutional Review Committee process and our process in dealing with the expropriation bill are not the same thing. Okay. So we need to understand that. But they are very overlapping. So it's better to understand them as overlapping issues. So yes, as you're saying, we were looking at a general law of expropriation, covering all kinds of expropriation, regardless of the property as well. It could be land, it could be intellectual property, and we had a debate about that. So our piece of legislation covers all forms, is intended to guide all forms of expropriation to ensure that the process, basically, is a just and equitable process and meets the test of the promotion of administrative justice. So that's the main purpose of the bill that has been before us. Okay. Obviously the Constitutional Review Committee is looking at land, but it's looking at expropriation of land and whether expropriation without compensation of land would require a constitutional amendment or not. Okay.
Yeah.
So you can see there's significant overlap between the two things. Okay.
Yeah.
So I think we agree on that as well.
Yeah.
Now, the document I think nicely explains the document before us, which I have also just seen, in fact even later than Honourable Ryder, but that's all right. The the document, sorry, I've forgotten the point I'm trying to make, but the essentially the document is saying we were put into a quandary, not we as government, as the department, but you as a committee, okay, were put into a quandary by the debate that then erupted. Not just in February, obviously it was triggered in February in Parliament with the decision to set up the CRC, but out there in the course of last year, obviously there was a significant debate happening in the policy and public debate space around expropriation, about compensation. And I think the committee wisely felt even back then, last year, that to go out into this without clarity would set you up, actually, into exactly the kind of problem that the poor CRC has been confronting, which is these huge mass meetings, very divided, very emotional, and not good for the country at the end of the day. It's good that we have a debate about these important issues, but there's a serious danger. Okay. So then let me then go on and take all the members here, regardless of their political party affiliation, into confidence as to what we're trying to do. Because, I mean, we've seen from Trump's letter, we've seen what AfriForum is doing, we've seen the Institute of Race Relations, who were hostile in our situation here, are doing, but also characters from the other side as well, okay. So the situation is from a country perspective, let's forget our party political affiliation, from a country perspective, we are dealing with the dangers of high levels of polarization around a very emotional issue, which is land, both land and expropriation are highly emotional issues. And therefore, we would urge Parliament and this committee in particular to understand that we have a country responsibility, okay, in this situation. So we don't know we can guess what the CRC might decide by way of a recommendation, okay, but let's not assume that it will make one or another recommendation, but obviously there's a strong possibility that it will say there's a strong possibility that the constitution needs to be amended. That's the question it's asking, does it or doesn't? But okay. So either way, we would need. One member referred to 25.5. I forget which honourable figure on the right. Have a look also at 25.8, which is which says that no provision in this section, and clearly no provision could be read to include the right to just and equitable. Thank you, because I might get it wrong. Just and equitable compensation. Okay, no provision of this section may impede the state from taking legislative or other measures. And then it goes on to say, gee, the print is very tiny on your version, okay. May impede the state from taking legislative or other measures to achieve land, water, and related reform in order to redress the results of past racial discrimination. Okay? So, the Constitution 25.8 allows the state to take legislative action, for instance, to redress the crimes of the past affecting land and other natural resources, provided that any departure from the provisions of 25, and one of the provisions would be just an equitable compensation, is in accordance with the provisions of 36.1. Okay? You turn to 36.1, that's the general limitation clause, which says, the rights in the Bill of Rights, which would include compensation, may be limited, but only in terms of law general application, to the extent that the limitation is reasonable and justifiable in an open and democratic society, and so forth. Okay. So, what they're saying is, one way or another, the Parliament has already agreed that we should allow for expropriation without compensation by a majority, obviously, to vote it on. Okay. Whether there's a constitutional change or not is required is open, but is likely, but we don't know, to be recommended by the CRC, if possible. Either way, we know that we need to send, sooner rather than later, a signal out there, Fox, as far as they can hear,
new agency, AFRIN Forum, people that are genuinely worried about constitutionality and so on, that the approach that we will take will be already implicit in the Constitution, as President Ramaphosa has said, and will not be a Zimbabwean-style land grab. Okay, it's very important. I think surely all of us, I've not heard anyone say that we want a Zimbabwean-style, even some of our friends who are not here today in the committee are not saying that. Okay, not sure what they're saying, but they're not saying that. Okay, so how do we, once the CRC has pronounced, okay, and brought its recommendation to Parliament, how do we then send a signal which calms as best as possible the situation? And that is by embodying in the current bill additions to the current bill which would indicate the conditions under which it would be just and equitable for there to be no compensation. Okay, all right. Okay, so that's what we would like to achieve from the side of government. So I'm not just talking as public works, I'm talking from the side of cabinet, basically, because cabinet is well aware that we're dealing with a highly emotive issue and one that is dangerous for the country, for the investment that we need, et cetera, et cetera, but also dangerous if we don't move in terms of the anger and frustration that people are feeling around the land issue. So we're dealing with emotions on all sides and we need to provide serious leadership. So how do we achieve a statement into the public space which indicates legally framed, okay, not just law, but legally framed, which indicates that yes, expropriation without compensation in certain circumstances would be just and equitable, but even those circumstances can be tested in court, obviously, in any given case and so forth. How do we signal that? And so we think that the best way of signaling that is to produce a revised version of the bill, not dropping the bill, because the bill is a good bill, in our view, and both the National Assembly and the NCOP, not necessarily all of the opposition parties, but broadly, you know, twice over in a... So, because the process that it's describing, if you're going to expropriate, these are the processes that you follow. It's not just like a grab. You've got to notify the intention to do that, you've got to do proper inspection, you've got to make an offer, good counter-offer, all of those things. It's a process which we debated at length. We had debates about whether all property and the definition of property, but there was agreement about the importance of having a clear process. Okay. So we don't want to throw that away, but we want to then indicate that in the case of expropriation in the for land reform, basically, in the case of land, that there can be specific conditions under which it might be just and equitable for it. Okay, so that's what we're trying to do. Okay. Now, how do we do that quite quickly, not preempting the CRC process, but very quickly once it's done? And we batted around the idea of whether we could reintroduce as a committee bill, so if we could hear in the committee, one could do it. But this committee is running out of time in terms of parliamentary time, and I think that's what colleagues are raising. We thought of a private member's bill, but that's inappropriate because we want it to be a South African statement and not a private member's bill. So our intention is, and I'm glad that there's an agreement that there could be a withdrawal, stroke, reject, whatever the appropriate word is, but the intention is a withdrawal, okay. I heard all of you, maybe you didn't, sorry, but certainly the colleagues from DA were saying, no, they accept that, it makes sense. That would enable then the executive and the Department of Public Works to produce a draftable, essentially the same bill but with small additions, essentially a draft bill, which we hope as soon as the CRC process, as soon as September, late September, could be tabled for public comment, okay, and then could be submitted to Parliament, public comment for 3 months or whatever, so that it's getting out into space, and then towards the end of December submitted to Parliament. Now, obviously we realise that there's no way that Parliament can then deal with it because this Parliament is coming to end. But the idea is that out there in the public space and sitting before Parliament, but then hopefully to be resurrected in the next Parliament, there would be a clear statement. So that's the South African, I hope. I hope we're all hearing each other on this, okay? Because we can fight nice, narrow party political battles around it. And when it gets eventually to then, there will be debates and so on. But we're trying to say it's very important that we send a clear signal that this is not about white genocide, and nor is it about preserving property in the way, you know, the unjust and unequal property dispensation. That can't continue, on the one hand. On the other hand, we're not going to solve that problem through land grabs and Zimbabwe stuff. Mm. So that's a long speech, Chairperson, but one's trying to urge for an understanding of what we're trying to do and therefore why we can't move in that direction as the department, as the sort of host department of the original authors of the original bill. We can't formally move until there's a withdrawal from Parliament, because then we do come. So that's what we're trying to achieve, and that we really urge the rejection stroke withdrawal process to move quickly so that then. And we would certainly be very happy to consult the committee, you know, even if it hasn't been, I don't know what presumably the protocols are until it's actually been submitted formally and so on, but to brief yourself on the process and so on, if that would be allowed. We would certainly be re-anxious so that we get a South African cross-party political understanding of what we're trying to achieve. Thanks, Chair. Thanks for that.
Thank you very much. Mr. Honourable Adams, and then I've noted the three.
Well, thank you very much, Chairperson, and also thank you to the Deputy Minister for applying and explaining to the committee the reasons. Chair, I would propose that we accept what the Deputy Minister has said as a committee. And then, Chair, I would also propose that we withdraw this document that was handed out. That we withdraw it, take it back as of now, and let's focus and move forward of what the explanation was, as the committee has already accepted from what I could hear from the view of the members of the committee. The question must just be put to the committee of acceptance, and there is, what I could hear from the other members, there is unanimously acceptance to the withdrawal of the bill. Not rejection, but withdrawal of the bill, requesting the Speaker to withdraw the bill from the parliamentary process. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Honourable Padane.
Thank you, Chair. This has got to be one of my happiest days in this committee and in Parliament, because you'll recall that the UDM did not support this. All we did was to support the technicalities. And finally we said, because you're starting only from 1913, you're not going back to the land that was taken away before 1913, we didn't support it. So I'm more than happy that it's been withdrawn, even if it were to be a question of rejection. Thank you.
Thank you. Another thing?
For the wrong reasons, but we're happy.
Thanks, Honourable Chairperson. Just a correction. The Deputy Minister put some words into my mouth and said that I also accepted the withdrawal. I did not say that. I said that I assume that it is going to be withdrawn. So
you're withdrawing the withdrawal.
So I just wanted correction, Chairperson. And then I just have a quick question. With regards to all that is happening around expropriation, and we know that this is a sensitive issue, does government and the Deputy Ministers, speak on behalf of Cabinet, do they have any plans in place to discourage any land grabs, and are there any plans in place if that does take place to to if any land grabs or land invasion takes place? What plans or what action will be taken if that does happen? Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Reda.
Thank you, Chair. No, good question from our colleague. Thank you very much, considering that we're dealing with land grabs happening at the moment in my constituency. mine is just for clarity on the process, Chairperson. Thank you, Deputy Minister, for your response, and as usual, on the money. But the question I have to ask is, you spoke about quite a tight time frame. And you also spoke about not presupposing the outcome of the Constitutional Review Committee hearings. I would suggest that the wording of any new expropriation bill would need to take into account the completed work of the Review Committee, and in fact not only that, but also the wording of a new Section 25 of the Constitution and an accepted and amended Constitution. So it would be my expectation that this now gets withdrawn, rejected, trashed, whatever you want to call it. Okay?
Wow.
Doesn't really matter. Take it off the table. We need to start again. Fair enough. Okay. This is what as my colleague says, we assume is going to happen. Throw it away. Start over. But that new start can only happen once the other process is fully completed. So I presume it will therefore not be up to this committee, but for the committee of the 6th Parliament to take this matter forward in terms of actually tabling the bill.
Thank you very much, Dr. Madraba.
Yes. Thanks, Honorable Chair. Thanks to the Deputy Minister to bring us together with my friend, Honorable Filtani, because we never differ. We're always in the one. So we don't want to quarrel because we are friends, you know. Yeah, Honorable Chair, I think after the explanation of the Deputy Minister, one will propose that we amend this document with a recommendation on Section 203.3c. Can I just read it? It just talk about it's a joint rule. That the Honorable Deputy Minister asked, it's strong that reject, but it's part of the rule. So we are using it because we want to be in line with the rule. So that's why I talk about rejection. I propose that we insert this recommendation in this report that says assembly procedure referral to assembly committee, and then three, it reads thus: if the committee agrees with the president's reservations, the committee must, I jump to C, recommend that the assembly rescind its decision to pass the bill and reject the bill. If it regards the bill as being procedurally or substantially so defective that it cannot be corrected. So procedurally it was brought back. So if we can put that one as a recommendation to say that we are in line with the rule. Secondly, we look at Section 208 of the same rule that reads thus, I will go to 2. If the Assembly rejects a remitted bill, the bill may not be proceeded with. But this sub-rule does not prevent a bill of similar substance from being reintroduced. So if it can be inserted, because when we make that recommendation, it will go there, and then they can introduce, as my colleague Ryder was saying, that maybe the 6th Parliament will deal with it. It won't be prevented according to the rule. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Honorable Patricia, you are well represented. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Mr. Fildan is also well represented.
And so we are friends. We must not fight when we go out.
No, definitely. So I think the committee secretary has been working on this document. Maybe what I must clarify and even make my colleagues more clearer.
Yes.
At my instruction, the staff worked on this report that you are working on, having realized that indeed the committee, we can't have this bill sitting with us forever. It's not a situation that you want to do. The bill should be dealt with, and if you are unable to finalize it, you must still decide which way. Now, in terms of what is happening in South Africa, we thought it is necessary that we must indeed withdraw the bill. But when we look into our rules of parliament, the joint rules, indeed the rules that we are looking into, it would be joint rule 208, read with joint rule 203, and in line with also joint rule 205, with joint rule 206, and joint rule 207, then those are the rules that are guiding us, because you use what is available. So we don't want to use something that is outside the rule, because when you stand in parliament, you use the rule. So which means the committee, therefore, our report should, with the recommendation that the assembly reject the expropriation bill. So we using those joint rules that have quoted, I think that would be mainly what we should be looking into. The other parts of the report were just introduction to where we're coming from, the history of the bill since it came to us, and the others were observations that we as the committee have gone through, which as you are speaking, the committee secretary has been also correcting and updating, so that in the end, the report that is going to go to Parliament indeed is informed by all your input, including the Deputy Minister's input, because it's also helping, is indicating, is confirming the intention of the Minister to indeed, once we withdraw the bill as Parliament, then within these rules, because these rules allow the Minister to come back immediately if it goes according to the intention, with the revised bill, with more clarity, more relevance, because it would take into consideration what the ad hoc committee would have decided. We also know indeed that running away from the reality, South Africans would also want to be united. We want clarity in South Africa. So we also want stability in South Africa. So, which means dodging issues won't help. We rather give clarity the way the Deputy Minister was also explaining. We give clarity that how the expropriation of land without compensation would be looked into, which is the matter would be better be dealt once the ad hoc committee has reported. But like the President of the country has reported, the amendment should be in line with the view of the country, stability, ensuring that for everybody, it can't be stability for the few and the majority still remain landless. That can't be stability. So we want a stability that makes everybody smile, appreciate being a South African. So that's what we hope the minister's intention will result with. That's what we hope the ad hoc committee would also in the end come out with, because we have this country, we have all to protect it. We have ourselves and our future generation, we have all to protect it. It can't be one group that is protected by apartheid and the democratic government still continue to protect one group. All of us must be protected. When we look into the constitution, we must indeed feel it represents aspiration of everybody. It unites everybody. That's where we go. That's the difference between us and the other country that were mentioned. which I don't want to mention. So we are following rules. When we do things, we talk. So I think that's the difference. So from where I sit, honourable members, like your input, we were adding, ensuring that the report that goes to the Speaker in Parliament is indeed informed. It was initially my initiation with the staff and committee secretary. Now your input, everybody, indeed, it is helping the bill that should come very soon, I think. Once we deal with this one in Parliament, we withdraw it, whether we call it reject, because we must be in line with the rules. Then the minister would immediately maybe wait for the other committee to report and then and deal with that at that point. So I think, honourable members, this is how the resolution of this matter is going to read. Maybe in case we didn't get there, let me read it again, the resolution of this matter, of the committee. It says, in accordance with Joint Rule 208, subsection 2, read with Joint Rule 203, subsection 3, subsection C, and in line with Joint Rule 205, Joint Rule 206, and Joint Rule 207, the committee reports a recommendation that the Assembly reject the expropriation bill. That is what we are going to... Our report would be centered on that resolution. Agreed?
Okay.
Thank you very much. This was Honorable Fitz.
Chairperson, Democratic Alliance reserves our right to support or reject the report.
Thank you very much. We note that overwhelmingly the committee indeed, including Democratic Alliance, indeed everybody, they reserve their rights, but we appreciate everybody's input was very constructive. We were all seeing just the same in terms of this bill. So what we will then do...
Sorry to interrupt. Can I just check, in reading it you omitted, but maybe deliberately, but I'm just out of... So that it may be reintroduced at a later stage? Is that getting omitted now?
In that, the rules that I've read, in fact, even Dr. Madlobe have read, it says that.
It
allows. When you read 208, it allows.
Is there any problem in...
If we say it.
Yeah.
No, we can. You can, I think we can.
Okay. But if it's a problem, then the main... From the ministry side, the main objection is to get the withdrawal.
No, we are adding it because we have said it.
But
that's the intention. Honourable Adams?
No, thank you, Chair. Chair, we've got the legal advisors here, and I think they're the perfect persons to advise us on the legality of this thing. Because as a committee, we're rejecting the bill, but this is a Section 76 bill. It still needs to go to the NCOP as well. So we must be careful, because we are sending the bill back to the Speaker as a committee to say that we request the Speaker to withdraw the bill from the National Assembly. So, and we can't say, please reintroduce the bill at a later stage. That's not our call to make. Because there's another parliament coming after us. And who says they will take the bill forward or they will not take the bill forward? Our duty is to say that we reject or we send the bill back to the Speaker, and then it's up to them to decide. Because once the bill is out of our hands, it either goes back to the executive, it's then the executive to decide. If we want to say we need to bring in a bill, then one of us must then do a private member's bill. But we cannot say, we then say, please, next parliament, we decide for you what to do. That is incorrect.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. So I think we are now really taking time.
Not
really. Maybe because we have the legal person here. Maybe let me allow her to say a bit.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you, Honourable Members, and greetings. Just Chairperson, one thing, and you've already pointed it out. Parliament is a creature of statute, and whatever action in order for it to find authority and legality, it must be founded on the mandating provision. And in this instance, all that we are doing, it is still in line with Section 79 of the Constitution, since this is a remitted bill that comes from the President. And it is also correct that it is a Section 76 bill, which involves and must get the full consideration and influence of both houses in terms of the decision. And in line with the reservations that came to the committee from the President in order for the bill to be remitted. In light of that, Chairperson, I think what the resolution, the manner that the resolution has been crafted, it indicates exactly that through the application of law and application of the rules of Parliament, the processes will have to be followed as outlined. And in that light, reference to the specific provision as having said joint rule 208(2), it speaks to the full details and how processes may unfold. So, Chairperson, in that light and ensuring the legality and the validity of the action that is taken by this committee, it is safe to say by application of law and application of the rules has already been indicated, because it indicates everything in clarity when you read the provision in its full context as it is written. I thank you, Chair. Yeah.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. I think we should be then comforted that indeed we are using this book.
Mm.
So, yeah. In fact, it states everything. So I think we can be happy then that even the other house would also be doing the same process. So there should be any worry that we may be, so because we are using the same rules. So you thought you forgot something.
Okay, just one.
I think also for importance and recording, Chairperson, we must be aware, and as the Chairperson and members have pointed out, the brown one is the joint rules of both houses.
Mm.
So it's an instruction or a direction that applies to both the National Assembly and the National Council of Provinces. And the specific rules, they speak to the defect, whether it's related to the defects that are procedural or the defects that are on substance, which involves both houses. And hence the rules that we've referred to are the joint rules, not the separate rules that speak to the houses differently. It's the joint rules, which means they apply to both houses and must be complied by both houses. I thank you, Chair.
So, members, on your behalf, now it is confirmed that the chair is correct. Thank you very much. So what we'll then do, honourable members, and now that we are all clear, and I must also appreciate, it's always the spirit GM in the committee. Even when we do oversight, we are always in one spirit, we're putting the people of South Africa first in this committee. So that is what I always appreciate. So we'll then ensure that, but the resolution, the way I've read it, it is quoting these joint rules. So we'll then ensure that the minutes also, because of this meeting, must also reflect, but when we write a report to the speaker, it must also be confirmed by the minutes. So this report then is going to be, so what I will then request that we must confirm the minutes as well of what has happened, so that
over.
It's just a few sentences confirming that the report was tabled the way it was. Maybe we can, because as we were proceeding, the secretary was also working on the minutes. So we can break to allow time for the secretary to ensure that the minutes can be read for you, so that when we go and deal with the matter, the other matter, the small harbors, we know we are done with this expropriation bill. We have even confirmed the minutes, like we have confirmed the report, so that there's no other issues that we are leaving hanging. So in terms of that, secretary, are you happy?
I'm good.
So do you think we can read the minutes now? Okay, so the secretary is saying he's ready with the minutes now. So
as we were speaking,
yeah. Remember the minutes are also reflecting the report.
Yeah.
So as we were speaking, she was dirty. Okay, let's give the secretary to take us through the minutes of this meeting dealing with expropriation bill.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you to all honourable members. I'll start with the opening and welcome. Of course, the Chairperson has opened the meeting and we welcomed everyone present. The apologies were read out because Honourable Massey and Honourable Sitole, as well as the DG from the department. And the minister as well. Then we got into the expropriation bill. The chairperson gave a brief background regarding the expropriation bill, the phases through which it had gone, and the reason for the consideration and recommendation for the rejection of the bill. He further stated that the committee has no mandate to withdraw the bill. Instead, the committee, in accordance with joint rules of Parliament, which is 208, 203, 205, 206, and 207, may be in a position to reject the bill through the Assembly. On deliberations, the Deputy Minister of Public Works urged the committee to move with speed with the process of rejection of the bill so that it may be reintroduced at a later stage. The committee then unanimously felt that the bill would be rejected in accordance with the joint rules. One of the observations from one of the committee members was that while there was a concern about whether there was any significant overlap between the issue of land and property, it was later then clarified to say that the expropriation bill was dealing with exactly expropriation of either land or property. The resolution, just as the chairperson has referred to it, in accordance with the joint rule 208-2, read with joint rule 203-3C, and in line with joint rule 205, 206, and 207, the committee reports a recommendation that the Assembly reject the expropriation bill before D 2015 so that it may be reintroduced at a later stage. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much.
Oh, sorry, Chair. There was also a reservation by the Democratic Alliance in terms of either supporting and rejection of the bill. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much.
What's that last word there, Chair? Rejecting or supporting that?
No objection. Just repeat the noting of the...
There was a reservation of rights, if I may remember very well,
to accept
by the DA, to accept or reject.
A reservation.
The report. Was it the report or the bill? The report.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Can we, members, there are minutes. Dr. Mandava?
Thanks, Honorable Chair. We propose the acceptance of the resolutions as they have read before us.
There's a proposal for that the minutes reflect transparency. Honorable Patricia Adams?
No.
Thank you, Chair. I second the proposal made by the Honourable Member.
Thank you very much.
Any different view? We all approve our minutes, so we will then move with the report to the speaker almost immediately, almost today. The report will go to the speaker almost today so that Parliament can deal with it as quick as possible. Thank you very much. We will then break so that we allow ourselves to stretch and at 11:15 we'll be starting with the next item at 11:15 the small harbors. Thank you very much. The meeting is adjourned.
Because you have five other committees. You guys are overloaded.
Well done, girl. My daughter.